You're listening to the Body Literacy Podcast, your connection to the art and science of feeling really good, body, mind, and spirit. I'm your host and holistic health coach, Jen Mayo. If you've never experienced truth and freedom inside your body, an amazing adventure is about to begin. Healing happens in community. Body literacy is your tribe. Join me in discovering the keys to fearlessly unlocking your body's innate intelligence and resilience. Turn on to the wisdom of your body as we connect your wellness dots by exploring whole person healing, from neuroscience and nutrition to sexual health and sleep. Join the wellness revolution and start speaking your body's language. Before we get started, I wanted to introduce you to the most profound and impactful piece of health technology I've encountered in 3 decades of navigating my own health challenges. LifeWave is a wearable health technology that uses your own light energy to optimize your health. If you've followed the Body Literacy Podcast for any period of time, you likely already know that I'm a bit of a walking science experiment. I have a passion for exploring how time-honored ancient healing arts can be coupled with modern science and technology to optimize our health, wellness, and vitality, and how we can empower ourselves with the knowledge and optimization of our own onboard wisdom and healing potential, rather than viewing the human body as a problem to be solved. LifeWave's phototherapy patches use light to stimulate the body's natural healing systems. By applying LifeWave's non-transdermal patches to specific points on the body similar to acupressure, where the patch covers the skin, infrared light emitted from the body is reflected back into the tissue, stimulating specific regions of the brain and tapping into the body's own flow of energy and the ability to heal itself. LifeWave patches are not intended to treat any specific condition or disease, but rather support the body's own innate healing mechanisms. When we take a holistic approach to health and consider there is really only one state of dis-ease in the body, imbalance, rather than the 32,000 diseases defined by conventional medicine, rebalancing the body and supporting our own built-in capacity to heal becomes a journey of ease rather than a frustrating and disempowering struggle to control dis-ease. Energy medicine operates by a different set of rules than material medicine. I talk about experience-based medicine a lot, and LifeWave is simply a therapy you have to take for a test drive to feel the benefits for yourself. To learn more or try them out, just visit jenmayo.com/LifeWave. Today's episode has been a while in the making, and one conversation I've been incredibly excited to have. Dr. Christian Northrup joins me on this episode of the Body Literacy Podcast to discuss sexuality, spirituality, and medicine. Dr. Northrup is a visionary pioneer in women's health. She is a board-certified OBGYN who spent more than 30 years in clinical practice and is a former assistant clinical professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Vermont College of Medicine. Christian is the 3-time New York Times bestselling author of Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, The Wisdom of Menopause, and Goddesses Never Age. In 2013, Reader's Digest named Dr. Northrup one of the 100 most trusted people in America. In 2016, she was named one of Oprah Winfrey's Super Soul 100, a group of leaders who are using their voices and talent to awaken humanity. And in 2020, 2021, and 2022, she was included in the Watkins Spiritual 100, a list of living people that make a unique and spiritual contribution on a global scale. Dr. Northrup is a renegade in modern medicine, embracing body, mind, spirit, and emotions to teach women how to tune into their own inner wisdom. Referred to as a rebel, rock star, and authority on what can go right with the female body by her own colleagues, Dr. Northrup is flipping the script on conventional medicine that addresses the human body as a battlefield rather than an abundant ecosystem with the innate capacity for growth, freedom, joy, pleasure, and balance. Dr. Northrup's work has been featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show, The Today Show, NBC Nightly News, The View, Rachel Ray, Good Morning America, 2020, The Dr. Oz Show, and now The Body Literacy Podcast. Since March 2020, Dr. Northrup has worked on the front lines of the medical freedom movement and bravely speaks truths that challenge the disempowering paradigms of the dominant Western medical establishment, which largely lacks the constructs to empower patients with the knowledge of their own bodies. In our conversation, Dr. Northrup and I explore why ancient healing arts included sexuality and spirituality as part of a comprehensive mind-body-spirit approach to whole person health and how this separation in modern medicine contributes to poor health outcomes. We discuss relational alchemy, the role of medicalized childbirth in creating unhealthy relationships with authority, lovemaking as a means to activating the circuitry of the divine, tango as a vehicle for embodiment and the exploration of masculine and feminine energies, and much more. Dr. Northrup says there's nothing more healing than a love affair, and unhealthy relationships can be the most significant factor in the manifestation of disease. And now let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the show, Dr. Northrup.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I've been so excited. I've been kind of like mapping out this conversation since we met a couple of years ago. And I'm going to get started real quick with a story I've already told a million times. So for anybody who's a regular listener, you've already heard this. So just stick with us for a few minutes, but it's very integral to the conversation that I think we're about to have. So the long story short is I got into mind-body medicine after my father got ill in 2016. So the story is he took a Viagra, which so many older men and maybe even younger men now are doing. And 2 hours after he took the Viagra, he had what we were told was a spinal stroke. Long story short, this kind of led to a series of events that ultimately led to his demise 3 years later and to my own spiritual awakening and my involvement in the mind-body medicine community. Ironically, and certainly probably not ironically, he passed away on Good Friday in 2019, 1 year before the COVID crisis started. And I don't think that was an accident. It was also the pink full moon, which I think has some significance to it. But definitely this kind of launched my own curiosity about sexuality and its importance and role in the broader discussion of health as a whole. And I think for me and my understanding of it now, sex is really the bridge between our understanding of the material world and the energetic world, because it requires the cultivation and the merging of both the physical and the energetic. And we know that our ancient ancestors, especially in the East, they very much understood that sexuality, spirituality, and health and medicine were all very integrally related. But for some reason in modern medicine, these three concepts have been completely divorced from each other. Can we kind of start there, and you can kind of give us maybe a little bit of history as to why that might be?
I can. We have been taught that there's something dirty and wrong with our sexuality. I remember way back when my kids were in middle school and I wanted to go teach in the schools about using your sexual energy and using you being the person in the driver's seat. Because when you had a culture, now back then, so let's think about how far down we've gone.
Yeah.
Eighth grade girls, that it was not a sign of accomplishment to give a blowjob to a guy that you liked.
Right. Okay?
I wanted them, and I remember reading accounts of the basketball player Wilt Chamberlain bragging about the 100,000 women who had sex with him, because these right. were the groupies, you know, the women who would, like, somehow it was a seal of honor or your desirability that you had sex with some kind of a rock star. The movie Almost Famous was based on the true story of a woman named, I think she called herself Penny Lane, but actually it was the mother of the rock star Liv Tyler, her mother. Steven Tyler's daughter, and
right.
she knew who her father was until she was 13. Mm-hmm. But her mother wrote a book about her whole experience as a groupie, you know, the followers of the band, that kind of thing, sex, yeah. drugs, rock and roll.
Right.
That book was slated to come out because I wanted to go to the book signing, which was in South Portland, Maine on September 11th, 2001.
Oh my gosh.
So we went from, you know, this sort of being a fly on the wall to this woman's sexual exploits with all the rock and roll bands to suddenly, bam, And I remember Bette Midler at a fundraiser later on that year saying, "I miss Monica Lewinsky," you know, meaning, man, I wish that we could be that petty now.
Right.
Okay. Now, I bring that up because I've long known that making yourself sexually available to men was how you got screwed. So we need to understand this one. Men fall in love with virtue, not vaginas. And that is Dr. Pat Allen, her work. And I learned a lot when I began to teach at the Mama Gina School of Womanly Arts in New York City about 2005, somewhere in there, 6, 7, whatever. And I was also at that time learning Argentine tango. Mm-hmm. Argentine tango is like having a 3-minute affair.
Yeah.
So it's all about the polarity of the receptive feminine being cherished and the masterful masculine, which is all about protecting and serving and leading and bringing those polarities together. Without those, you don't have the spark. You don't have the nitric oxide, by the way. Nitric oxide is the final common pathway for how Viagra and Cialis work.
Right.
But what they do, and there's a black box warning on these erection drugs that warns about blindness, which is, of course, always a big joke. Oh, yeah, okay, so, you know, can I just do it until I'm blind in one eye? Mm-hmm. But what's that about is that those drugs, though they work by increasing nitric oxide, they send the blood south.
Yeah.
And then it's not available for the tiny, tiny, tiny little capillaries in the retina of the eye or in your father's case.
Yeah.
In your father's case, the spinal arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, by the way, a lot of young men are using Viagra.
And worse,
what we have now in our culture is a whole epidemic of young men who cannot even get an erection without pornography.
Right.
So it's actually biblical. We're back to Sodom and Gomorrah here.
Yeah.
You know, we're back to, and I remember reading some biblical account that in Babylon, when the Israelites were out in the desert, you know, for the 40 years, you know, God's chosen people. And, you know, let's be clear, the Bible is code. It's code for how things work best to bring sexuality and spirituality together.
Yeah.
And what happened is these Babylonian prostitutes came and the men of Israel had sex with them and then they worshiped the golden calf. Well, that's where we are now. Mm-hmm. Look at what happened. I think at some group, the young woman vomited, Lady Gaga, and then the other Grammys were Sam Smith dressed up like Satan.
Right.
We have been so far away from what is goodly and godly, and therefore, let me be very direct.
Yeah.
The thing that gives the man the best erections is absolutely loving his partner. Mm-hmm. Loving. You cannot get a good, hard erection without some kind of caring. And I'll tell you what that is. And around midlife, like 42, the Uranus opposition for everybody, age 42, it's like the beginning of that midlife crisis. Oh my God, is that all there is? Is that, you know, this is, and in the Wisdom of Menopause, I wrote, you come to a crossroads, grow or die.
Yeah.
And many, many women start to wake up sexually at that time. Mm-hmm. They start to wake up and it gets really awkward. I want to name this so that you know, so everyone notices it. It gets really awkward when what women start to do is they start to do pole dancing on Instagram or twerking on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's awkward. It's a bad look. It's a bad look because that's not what it's about. It's that the Kundalini is rising and you're beginning to understand your sexual power as a spiritual energy mm-hmm. that is going to enhance your life. Kim Anami yeah. teaches a course called The Well-Fucked Woman. Now yeah. her, you know, her message is right on point. Her language is not any language that I would ever use because, you know, like I had a friend who said, well, you know, she and I started fucking. So I knew that, you know, I had to get out of my marriage. It's like, ooh, like, right. don't do that. When you reduce the holiness of the sexual encounter to fucking, mm-hmm. I can't.
Yeah.
So what I want women to understand is you can be fully embodied. Let's do an exercise right now. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is put your attention on your female erotic system, which right. is the clitoral system in your pelvis. So there's women have as much erogenous erectile tissue as do men, but mm-hmm. it's all inside. And by the way, they've never been able to invent a Viagra for women ever.
Yeah.
They've yeah. tried. They've tried.
Right.
And women, you know, don't think they're orgasmic and they don't, you know, I worked with Stephen Vera Badansky, who wrote The Illustrated Guide to Extended Massive Orgasm. I would recommend that book to anybody because it's a biofeedback manual uh-huh. for how you turn yourself on to your own sexuality. Now, orgasm is a reset of the electromagnetic grid of the body. Mm-hmm. That's what orgasm is. It's literally a reset.
Yeah.
And women are omni-erotic. Men, not so much. But women have, and this has been demonstrated by Naomi Wolf in her book, Vagina, A New mm-hmm. Geography,
yeah,
where she points out that the blood flow meters in the vagina will increase blood flow when a woman sees anything that is about life force. Now, she may not be aware of it here, but the blood flow is actually increasing in her female erotic system when, I'll give you some examples, she looks at a sunset. She sees her children playing. Her mate shoves a couch off the truck at the dump, and she feels his strength. Mm-hmm. Her mate is nice to her grandmother. The things that enhance life mm-hmm. are the things that make a woman multi-orgasmic. Now, if she has been sexually abused, all bets are off because yeah. the wires, the circuitry is all off.
Right.
What do we have now? Culture, which way, and I think it was 2017, there were 2 gender reassignment clinics in the entire United States.
Right.
Now they are everywhere. Mm-hmm. How do we, within 3 to 4 years, convince 9 to 11-year-old children that they're the wrong gender?
Right.
This is it's a war against this wonderful gift of our human sexuality. Let's be clear, everybody, that if someone's convinced you that you're transgendered and you're 11 and they put you on puberty blocking hormones and remove your breasts or remove your penis or whatever, mm-hmm. you are never going to have children. You will never. I would not, by the way, in the years I was in practice, I wouldn't do a tubal ligation on a woman younger than 35. I wouldn't yeah. do it because yeah. I knew that, you know, let's say if you're 18, I absolutely will never do that. There's no way, you know, I'll never do it. And then you turn 35 and you go, what was I thinking? Right.
Right. Right.
And here's the other thing that you can't rent a car until you're 25.
Right.
So how is it that you can, that your parents will give you permission to remove your breasts when you're 11? Mm-hmm. This is okay. So I want to, this is an inversion. It's an inversion of what is true. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that, and then we do other things. Circumcision. What are we doing? We are removing 40 1,000 nerve endings. Yeah. That's that the prepuce is an organ. Mm-hmm. It's like the foreskin, but it's an organ.
Right.
And I've done hundreds of male circumcisions of infants as part of my job.
Right.
And I would never, ever, 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 ever do it again. I couldn't, in the 80s, convince mm-hmm. anybody. I couldn't convince any parent. Now, the culture has changed. So circumcision is down to like only 60% of newborns, whereas it was 99% when I was doing those procedures. But let's be clear about all the ways that we have co-opted and inverted this God-given gift of our sexuality. Mm-hmm. We have made you feel like it's dirty.
Right.
Be ashamed. There's all kinds of, you know, religious stuff about it. And I remember Pia Melody back in the 80s was talking about sexual abuse and so on. And she said, if you tell her that someone is a minister or a priest, she automatically said, sex addict. Mm-hmm. Sex addict. Mm-hmm. That's how close they are. If you are a man or a woman of God, and you're not bringing this in directly, it leaks out in a perverted way. Look at Spotlight, that incredible movie with Mark Ruffalo about what all the priests in Boston who had been abusing young children and how long it took to, you know, to get that out of there. Porn addiction needs to be treated. No 12-year-old boy or girl should even look at it. Right. It's like what Andy Weil said years ago about cigarettes. He said, it's the one thing that I would tell people, don't even try once. Yeah. Because there are certain types of people that when you inhale a cigarette, boom, it goes right to the brain. And you are almost instantaneously addicted to nicotine. Well, it's the same with porn. It will hijack your ability to have the incredible relationship that you can have with that pleasure bond, bringing you together with your beloved. Now, it's much better. Let me be clear on this. It's much better for a woman. I only know the woman part of this. It's much better for the woman to be celibate with another person, but having lovemaking sessions with herself. It's much better than sleeping around randomly.
Yeah.
This does not work. I'll tell you how I view that. Let's say when you're in, there may be a couple individuals in the world, a couple women who are truly polygamous. And I'll give them that if that works for them.
Yeah.
I'm talking to here the women who want true intimacy. The women who want the best sex of their lives, and they want it to continue as a love affair for their entire lives. You cannot have that with multiple lovers. You cannot have that. It's like putting muffins in the oven. This is life force energy. So that's the oven cooking and constantly opening the door, see if they're done. When I've known couples, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, we have an open marriage. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. And it's like you're constantly leaking your sexual energy somewhere else. So it's not available to be in this container where this is your sacred container. And when you cheat, you are betraying that person, whether it's the woman or the man, betraying that. Now, be honest with yourself. Right. If you need to leave your marriage, then leave your marriage with honor.
Exactly.
But don't go sneaking around. And all of this crap about, well, I had my needs, you know, BS.
Right.
What we need to do here is we need to grow up sexually.
Yeah.
And you'll never get the full experience of sexuality and spirituality until you make a commitment to containing that energy within yourself. Now, you know, there's actually data that every man a woman has ever slept with leaves remnants of his DNA in her body. Mm-hmm. So how much detritus do you want? I remember way back Janine Parvati Baker, who wrote a book called Conscious Conception. Mm-hmm. She said, I was ready to have sex at the age of 16 and I knew it. And I made a commitment to myself that I would never have sex with any man who I wouldn't willingly have as a father to my mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do for women is we need to start honoring this vessel and at the same time, turning on this vessel.
Yes.
So that we are led. Let me give you, our head knows a bunch of things. Our heart knows a bunch of things. But the soul comes in through the sacred bone. Mm-hmm. That's in the pelvis.
Yep.
And that you can trust.
Yeah.
That you can trust.
Yeah.
So therefore, again, Pat Allen, in her wonderful, wonderful teachings, basically said to women, do not let a guy in until you have a pact, a commitment to social and sexual monogamy. And the reason you don't want that to happen is when a woman lets a man in, she has the, there's so much oxytocin because the cervix, by the way, represents the heart. It is the, you know, the reflexology zone of the heart.
Right.
Tip of the penis. Mm-hmm. Heart for right. men.
So when those come together, you're basically touching hearts.
Yeah, you're touching hearts.
Yeah.
So you need a commitment to social and sexual monogamy. And then you can have sex. Then it's okay. But and you want to have the discussion about birth control, about where do you see this going, all of that. And I would far, so what we have now is we have a whole culture, the hookup culture. You know, did you hook up? Oh my God. What you've done there is you have disconnected your heart, the biggest endocrine organ in the body, and the biggest emitter of electromagnetic voltage. Mm-hmm. You have just severed it.
Yeah.
From your low heart, from your pelvis. Mm-hmm. And so it's the absolute decimation of the family unit. Everything in our, I was talking to my friend Kevin Jenkins, who is head of the Zelenko Foundation and also was founder of the Urban Global Health Alliance out of Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And he said, I have never met a single politician who was pro-family mm-hmm. in their policies. Not one. Once they get in that government thing, everything they do is to mess up the family. Now, I used to be a big fan of Planned Parenthood. What did I know? Mm-hmm. I didn't know they were selling baby parts. I didn't know that Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist.
Right.
That story has been completely flipped. What we need to do is everything we can do to support the pleasure bond of a couple, which then goes out to the entire family unit.
Yep.
It literally uplifts everybody, but you've got to contain it. You've got to contain it. So here's what I tell women. There's an exercise in the Bedansky's book, mm-hmm. and it's called Visiting Dignitary. So I want to give women something to do while you are making yourself irresistible and magnetic to the right partner. Because by the way, the egg puts out a signal and invites in the sperm, and it's the egg that chooses the partner. Yeah. And the egg then will rehabilitate the chromosomes in the sperm if necessary. The egg literally has the ability to repair any defects in the male sperm. And not only that, the egg has enough food for the 3-day cycle spiral down the fallopian tube until it embeds in the placenta. And boy, at this point, we've got to remember all of this divine biology, because it has been hijacked beyond belief. You know, just so that people know, the current COVID thing has an 85% miscarriage rate if you get it during pregnancy.
Yeah.
So therefore, we've got to remember this wisdom. Okay, so visiting dignitary, and I'm going to take you through this exercise.
Okay.
Visiting dignitary is you create your boudoir as though there was some visiting dignitary. And in the past, I would have said, you know, like maybe the Queen of England, but now I know too much about those people, so I would never have those people. But someone that you you really respect, someone, yeah, you know, like, or, you know, even your mother-in-law is coming, but you're just going to make it look beautiful.
Yeah.
And maybe flowers and incense or a scented candle. And then you begin a process with candlelight, perhaps, is look in the mirror and begin to admire areas of your body that you can admire, like maybe the skin on your shoulders or your eyes or some part of you, and then begin caressing that part of you. And then what you want to do is get into bed, and then just through clitoral stimulation, you want to breathe in a certain way, relax, 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 and then work toward having an orgasm within 30 minutes. That will turn on your entire body. Now, you don't have to have the goal of an orgasm. Your goal is to wake up the erotic tissue in your body. That is your goal. The clitoris is just the tip. It's just the tip, but it's connected to crurae roots along the labia inside. The so-called G-spot should be called the sacred spot. You won't be able to feel that until you're turned on, and you feel it by squatting down and just underneath the pubic bone at 12 o'clock, if the pubic bone is 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
You can feel it, and it's a raised area about the size of a quarter. That area has nadi, they're called, acupuncture meridians that go all the way up to the pineal gland, which is where the DMT, the most addictive substance in the universe, lives,
yeah,
in the pineal gland. And most of us have a pineal gland that has been calcified and shut down.
Yeah.
Fluoride in the water. Chlorine. Everyone needs more iodine, by the way.
Yeah.
And the best iodine is SSKI, supersaturated potassium iodide, from morgellonsdirect.com. Morgellons, M-O-R-G-E-L-L-O-N-S, Morgellons Direct, or the Heritage Store of the Edgar Cayce people, because Edgar Cayce came up with a type of iodine. We all need way more. The other thing that awakens your pineal is sun gazing. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to start very, very small. And at sunrise or sunset, let's say the last 10 minutes before the sun sets, or the first 10 minutes after it rises, you just stare at the sun directly. Now, you can start with your eyes closed. Over time, you can work up. My friend Jean Deco does an hour at noon.
Wow.
And eyesight was completely perfected as a result of that. He never needed glasses after that. But it does, remember, everything that you're told to avoid is probably the thing you need.
You need to be doing. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to be doing.
Didn't Bill Gates wanted to black out the sun, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. With nanoparticles. Yeah.
Right, right.
He's just doing another thing now, Bill Gates, while we're on to Bill.
Right.
Collecting the belches and the farts of cattle and having masks on cattle. It's beyond belief. And then there's the ecto womb that they want to grow 30,000 babies per year so you can have a designer baby, you know, making your avatar. So all of these things are anti-life, and I want you to know that. So what we're talking about is connecting with the energy of God. God. And so when you are doing this lovemaking, it is you turning on the circuitry of God in your body. And when the time is right, you can then share it with another person. But what we women have been taught is that that energy is all about the guy. It's all about the guy. It is not. It's all about you.
Right.
And that's what will attract the guy to you. What will not attract the guy to you, trust me on this, is twerking on Instagram. And I'm really, really sorry to have to break it to you. I understand the impulse. I absolutely understand the impulse, because when you are awakening to your sexual self, which I said happens for many women, you know, they what do we do, right? You go to school and then you go to college and maybe you have some hookups, but whatever you have, I don't know. I mean, my daughter's saying to me, because I look at movies where, you know, they're on the first date and then, you know, they're in bed together. Oh my God. I mean, and that's spewed out on the culture. Like that's
right,
what.
Right.
And my
right.
daughter, well, a lot of women do that. Yeah. Good. Good. Does it make you happy? Do you then have a man who takes care of you and serves you? And then we've got this feminist movement that I grew up, you know, right in the middle of. A woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. So now we have, what have we spawned? An entire culture of single mothers who virtue signal, I'm a single mother.
Right.
Or worse, the ones who have kids with three different guys.
Right.
This is not good for the fabric of society or planet Earth. I am sorry if this offends you. Actually, part of me has become a little more like Roseanne Barr when she did her Fox special. She said, now my goal, she was talking to Tucker Carlson, my goal is to offend as many people as possible.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so when you do this exercise, you will find over time that it turns on everything. Now, it's true that you may well meet a man who turns on your pilot light, and that's a gift.
Yeah.
That's a gift. It may be that mm-hmm. does it, but you still have to stand your ground and remember men fall in love with virtue. They mm-hmm. fall in love with virtue. And if you don't value this, he won't either. He
right.
won't be very happy to have sex with you. Men are different. He's very happy to have sex with you.
Yeah.
But unless he's extraordinary, but he will not. It's a woman who elevates men. And if we women all got together and held men to a standard, we would see them rise up. And not only would they rise up to protect and serve, their erections would be stronger than ever. So we would get the pleasure of that.
Right, right, right. At Body Literacy, we're all about loving the skin you're in, and beautiful skin begins with feeding your skin with nutrients the same way you do the rest of your body. Most skincare products are laden with toxic chemicals and endocrine disruptors that are not only terrible for your skin, but contribute to our body's total toxic load, making us more vulnerable to disease expression. My own daily skincare routine includes Elena Organics, which is crafted from all natural ingredients. Our skin is not a barrier, it's more like a sponge that absorbs much of what it comes into contact with. As a general rule, if you wouldn't put it in your mouth, it shouldn't go on your skin either, which is why I'm so particular about the skincare products that I choose. Award-winning cosmetic chemist and esthetician Elena Fedotova is the formulator and CEO of Elena Organics. She handmakes her professional skincare line in her laboratory using holistic principles and organic ingredients from around the world. Elena's Mermaid Elixir and Under Eye Recovery Mask are among the products I use daily to nourish my own skin. To learn more about how Elena Organics can help your skin age vibrantly and nourish your body from the outside in, just visit my Jen's Favorite Things link at jenmayo.com and use code JEN15 for 15% off your purchase with Elena Organics. And back to your dancing analogy, I actually pole dance and tango, and I started doing ballroom dance probably 10 years ago. And Naomi Wolf had a similar analogy or a similar situation she talked about in Vagina, a New Biography with a tantra class that she had attended. And I think this phenomenon that I noticed when I was doing the ballroom dance was there were men who you would normally not find attractive at all, but who were amazing leads and did exactly what you said in terms of being able to read a woman's body and know what she wants.
Yes.
And suddenly he lit up in this most beautiful masculine way that much more attractive men did not have that same quality or that ability to lead a woman. So I completely understand what you're saying there. And there's so much that I think can be gleaned from participating in any kind of ballroom dance, but especially tango. Tango was my favorite. So
absolutely. And you know, what the man does, as you know, it's like surfing and you're the wave and they're the surfboard and they're surfing according to what you desire. And that is so embodied. You've had that experience like I've had with tango.
Yeah.
It's not intellectual.
Right.
And I have to tell you, it was harder for me to learn tango than to go to medical school, do an OBGYN residency, because I lived here.
Right.
And so it took a lot for me to sink down. And Argentine tango is all about where you're really leading from is the hips.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, so it's two hearts moving as one. And you're right. I had experiences with men who were, you know, very good looking and thought they were all that in a bag of chips, but they were all about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Right.
But I did learn, because I'd go in to dance and there were way more women who wanted to dance than there were men.
Right.
And so I have told men, would you like to be a god?
Right.
Learn how to dance. You will be a god.
Yeah.
And that's the smartest thing that any man can learn, or at least be willing. And then what women need to do, and I did this, I was like procurer of leaders for our little tango group for a while there in Portland, Maine. And, you know, guys walking by the window, I was, hey, come on in. And then what you would do is, if you were a smart woman, you would compliment them whenever they got it right. Because they were more scared than we were, way more scared, because it's up to them to lead. And so you can really, we created some incredible dancers through elevating them. Women have no idea. We have no idea how powerful we are. And we've grown up in patriarchy and it's not been easy for men or women.
Right.
But those are basic principles. I want to give you another exercise, just like the visiting dignitary, that I have found astounding. And I want women to know this. And this is from Mama Gina's book, Owner's and Operator's Guide to Men. And it's called Turn It On for a Dork. When I learned this, I had been doing all these lectures about the great goddess and, you know, all of the goddess images in the caves in old Europe and how they were shaped like the female anatomy, like the vulva. And then you go in through the vagina and then you're in this little womb space. And they're all over the place in old Europe, these caves. And then the goddess figures where they've got spirals of energy on the hips. And I used to give these lectures and think, imagine what it must have been like to live in a culture that saw the female body as sacred like this. And as the, you know, and then I read Turn It On for a Dork. Okay. So it's like these things coming together. Go somewhere, like let's Starbucks, you're in line or whatever. And you see a guy who's attractive, but safe. I mean, you know, not some dangerous guy. And you look at him, you can do this at a bar too. And you look at him and admire something about him, maybe the color of his shirt, maybe his hair, maybe his eyes. So you're looking at him and put your energy south in your female erotic anatomy and see what happens. And almost every time that power, that female erotic system will send a signal out like a pheromone and he'll turn and look at you. And I had the opportunity, I was on a plane 2 days ago, and the flight attendant just looked really elegant. He had a mask on, so he, you know, he hadn't gotten the memo of the mask, but I walked in and You know, and I said, you're just looking very elegant. Okay. Later on, it's a small plane. He passes my chair, my seat, and says, you're the one who's elegant. I laugh. Okay. Then I'm going out of the plane and I say to him, could I see the face that matches that elegance? And he takes down his mask. He's really good looking. I said, ooh, way better than I expected. And we can do those. That Mama Gina taught that flirting is the art of enjoying yourself in the company of another.
Yeah.
We uplift the world in that way. Just like, you know, a little kid on the plane, you know, if you've had a three-year-old who's peeking up and you flirt with the kid the whole plane ride.
Yeah.
It's like that. So we need to become more playful. But anyway, you will find, and then the other thing is the eye gazing is the same signal as the egg gives out. And if there's a man you're interested in, and you know this because it has to do with the cabeceo in tango, mm-hmm. and that is you make eye contact. That's how you invite the dance, is that the man makes eye contact with you. 10 seconds, if you can hold it. And it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Really, you're going to start to feel so embarrassed, but it works every time. So we have to practice keeping our mouths shut and just using our eyes. This is the feminine power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you learn that in tango. But when I was in Buenos Aires, you know, I would think, this is the horrible part. You think he's looking at you and then he comes over, you stand up, but he was, you know, looking at the woman. Yeah. You know, and then you're back in the eighth grade. You got to go to the, you got to go to the ladies room and, you know, take a moment to deal with your shame.
Right.
Oh, goodness. Nothing is more confrontive.
Yeah.
Than learning Argentine tango as a woman older than 25.
Yeah.
If you're 25, you can have two left feet. It doesn't matter. That's just biology. And I decided I was going to have to break through that and bring in all of my feminine power, which is there at any age, by the way. It's there at any age. I want to just hold this up for people. This is a book I wrote, called Goddesses Never Age. And chapter 11 gives the whole female pelvic anatomy and what to do. And you can, at any age, I swear to you, you can turn all of this around. It's weird. I was looking, Jupiter just conjuncted Chiron or something. And there's an astrologer I follow. And he said, so go back to May of 2009. And this is a upper level on the spiral of May of 2009. So I did that because I keep journals. And I went back and there was a quote from my mother. What man would ever be interested in an older woman? And I thought, wow, boy, have I ever transformed that particular lie.
Right.
But that's what all of us women right now, I think, we're transmuting, is all those messages. And the messages are, it's too late for me. Mm-hmm. You know, if I haven't done it now, it's too late for me.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed. But it's also why I tell women, don't ever give your age. Just don't give your age. I don't want my body to know my age. And don't step into that. Because then I run in and I'll watch jump into the, I think I look really good for 55 or 55. Do you see what I mean? They jump into that.
Right.
Just don't do it. Be ageless. Be a goddess. Bring in everything that you can. Now, another experience I had at Mama Gina's, and this is back to Viagra, we had a woman taking the course. She was in her 70s, and she was taking the Mama Gina course of way back, the School of Womanly Arts. And, you know, COVID, of course, ended all that. And we have this thing called Men's Night, where the men come in and the women welcome them. And we get to ask the men anything we want about men.
Yeah.
And I watched the men in this sea of feminine acceptance rise up. Mm-hmm. Like just like you on the dance floor, these kind of dorky men become gods right in front of you.
Right.
And this man told the story of that ever since his wife began to take this course and she became much more turned on to life, mm-hmm. he no longer needs Viagra.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a turned on woman is what turns on a man. Period. End of story.
And that, I mean, that ties in that with the relationship between the sexuality, spirituality, and medicine, and how we use relational alchemy to actually heal our physical bodies.
Oh, that's really good. And that is really, really true.
Yeah.
There is nothing more healing than a love affair.
Yeah.
But.
Or nothing more damaging than, as you would say, an energy vampire.
That's correct. That's correct.
Right.
So for all of you empaths out there, the trap is that a narcissist will see who you really are, and they will know that you are a source of narcissistic supply forever. Mm-hmm. And you will do anything to get them to love you. And they will, you know, there are 30-year marriages where the woman did everything hoping to bring out the gold that she saw in this man who's never going, you know, a fixer-upper sort of a thing.
All right.
Someone who's never, ever, ever going to rise up.
Yeah.
But she'll keep trying. And that is what drains women. These are the men who my friend Amy calls them. They're like, they stay and they use up all of a woman's fertile years, where she keeps thinking he will commit, he will da 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 da. And then she gets to like 42 and she's finally had enough. And she finally leaves and he marries a 22-year-old and they begin to have a family. Because as long as a woman is not putting herself first, these are the men who you will stay around. You want them to make a commitment and they're not doing it. When a man tells you who he is, believe him.
Yeah.
Leave him. Yeah. And you say, look, I am looking for a monogamous, committed relationship so that the two of us can create alchemical heaven on earth.
Yeah.
And if you're not that, if you're just looking for a booty call, I'm not interested. Next.
Right.
And remember, for those dry spells, and Kim Anami talks about the fact that sometimes the most sexually fulfilled women are the ones who've just been with themselves. So I want you to practice this, what the exercises I've just told you, and there are many more, and goddesses never age, so that you are prepared for when the divine masculine steps into your life.
Right.
Yeah. And you can, it's very odd with the whole COVID thing, because so many social situations not only shut down, but then changed.
Yeah.
So we're going to be building, I believe, we're going to be building new kinds of movies, new kinds of theaters, new kinds of social interactions, but they'll be based more on what is wholesome mm-hmm. and what is pure.
And what, a new medical system too.
Oh, well, the medical system. I've stepped so far away from the medical system. I gave my license back in 2015.
Yeah.
Too. The medical system is completely co-opted. So what do we do to women? Antidepressants completely inhibit your ability to experience an orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a woman who was listening to me in 2020 to my sort of nightly little ministry. And she said to me, well, she said, I took the, you know, one of these. And she said, now I can't feel a thing. And she was in this great relationship, you know, where she was just having the best orgasms of her life, which, by the way, women having the best sex of their lives are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Let me be clear on that. Mm-hmm. Because they know their worth. They know their value. They're not rushing. They're not trying to, you know, whatever. And so she sent me, and I'd been talking night after night after night about, you know, what to do. And then she said, you know, well, I did my own research and I got this thing and now I can't feel a thing. Can you help me? And it's like, no, I'm,
right.
I'm really, I'm sorry. I gave you what I had and you made your own choice. And so many women listening, I know, will think that it's too late for them. And I just want you to know, it doesn't even matter to me if you've had whatever.
Yeah.
God can heal anything. So remember, spirituality and sexuality are the same energy, but you need to bring it way down.
Yeah.
That's why the, you know, by the way, the word masturbation means to defile with the hand. Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah. I've always thought that word in and of itself just needs to change. Yeah, like it's not a pleasant word.
So the word is self-cultivation.
Yeah.
That's what the Taoists have called it, self-cultivation. There's things you can do with a yoni egg. There's all these different egg exercises. There's the vaginal weightlifting, which you just get a crystal egg with a hole through it, and then you put in dental floss, and you know, you can add various weights, and you can really, really, really strengthen all of your pelvic muscles. It's really a very, very good thing to do because it will prevent urinary stress incontinence and all of that. We've got to bring the energy down.
Yeah.
Really, we do. And live from there. Now, Regina, Mama Gina called it, you know, being in your pussy. Again, these are words that are hard. They're hard for people because they've been so abused.
Right.
Principle is correct. The principle is correct because when you, what you find is many women, particularly those college educated, MD, PhD types and all of that, do not know how to live embodied that way. So the exercises that I'm recommending allow you to become embodied. And it's a practice. It takes practice and it will bring up any sexual abuse. One in three women has been raped. And if we weren't raped physically, our self-esteem has been raped. But as medical intuitive Carolyn Mace said, there actually isn't a being on earth who hasn't been raped in some way.
Right.
It's self-esteem.
Well, and back to your point to circumcision earlier, I think if we take a different cultural look at so many of the medical practices we have in place, especially that one and how that one in particular is performed, we can see that even in medicalized context, just because we're validating it through the lens of medicine, in any other context, we would call certain practices sexual assault or rape. But because we've validated it through this massive system and said it's necessary for X, Y, or Z, we're not calling it that. We're using language to do a dance around it, sort of.
That's right. And by the way, American pediatricians are not taught male anatomy. Let's just take a moment on this because it'll help someone.
Yeah.
Prepuce does not separate from the glands, from the top of the penis, sometimes till age 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So when you forcibly retract the foreskin to, quote, keep it clean, what you're actually doing is you're actually scarring it so that the child is much more apt to need a circumcision later because you have iatrogenically caused what's called from doctors opposing circumcision that mothers can put on the diaper. I'm intact, don't retract. Because if you take your kid into the emergency room, let's say with croup or whatever, you would not believe how often the doctor, they're going in for an upper respiratory, and the doctor takes off the diaper and retracts the foreskin. Mm-hmm. What is that? That is sexual perversion in a culture.
Right.
And so then the baby is screaming and bleeding from something that never needed to happen. The American Academy of Pediatrics has still never come out with the right statement about circumcision. But why would I expect otherwise when those people are paid on the basis of how many shots they give to children? Mm-hmm. Everyone should know that. You know, the more shots you give, the higher your pay grade. That's your Yelp rating. So we now have to remember our magic, and we have to protect it, and we have to protect it in our children. as well. And it's not helpful to have a drag queen reading stories to three-year-olds.
Right.
At the library. Right. It's confusing. It's confusing. We don't need to, or having them come in a G-string and perform for the elementary school.
Right. What would, I mean, if we had like a time machine television that we could send back to our ancestors 1,000 years ago, like what would they even be if they saw some of these things at this point?
My feeling is this is, you know, this is from a regressive alien species of some kind. You know, I don't know what, and you know what's so awful about it is that one of my favorite places for vacation used to be Provincetown. I love the shows and the all of it. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. But, you know, my kids were 21. They weren't three. Right. And then the trans thing, I know two trans individuals are absolutely wonderful. That, you know, the Native Americans always said there are two spirit people. And it's not, I don't think it's that common, but you don't have to make an 11-year-old think that they're that. And neither of these people went in for the medical stuff.
Right.
They were just, right. You know, and it's funny, the energy of someone. One of the trans people that I know did not transition to female until he was like 30, but he always go back and forth. He could always go back and forth whenever he wanted to. And that never had problems with that. No one would.
Well, the brain hasn't even finished developing until mid-20s, correct?
That is correct. And sometimes I don't think it's developed ever.
Right. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Right.
Do you think medicalized childbirth sets, you know, the culture at large up for outsourcing our own agency and having a very unhealthy relationship with our perceived relationship with authority figures?
Oh, without a doubt. In fact, think about it. Childbirth is the end result of sex.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it is possible to birth orgasmically.
Mm-hmm.
It's not common, but down at the farm with Ina Mae Gaskin, I think 25% of women birth orgasmically.
Yeah.
Yes, childbirth is the absolute projection of our agency on the medical system. So one of the things that I'm seeing that I'm loving is the rise of free birthing, where women are birthing without any medical people there or with a midwife who completely understands the process.
Right.
So very exciting what I see happening. And it needs to happen because 99% of newborns now in our culture get a hepatitis B shot, which contains way too much aluminum. And the CDC has changed the child developmental milestones and regressed them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the further away from the medicalized model you get, like we need to let the umbilical cord just stop pulsating. It's an organ. The baby's being oxygenated and all of that. In fact, I have to hand it to COVID because it's caused people to question everything.
Yes. Yes.
About, you know, the way we are born sets the stage for everything. When I get on a plane, not so much now, but up until about 2 to 3 years ago, when the plane was starting to take off, I would fall asleep almost every time. Why is that? I'm in a tube, we're going somewhere, and it recreates my birth, which was fully drugged.
Mm-hmm.
From twilight sleep, second all into the following. You know, my mother didn't wake up till 3 days later. That's the way it was back then. So that was in my body. Oh, we're moving somewhere. Boom, time to go to sleep. So the way you're born sets the tone for everything.
Yeah.
And we now have, you know, a 25 to 50% C-section rate. Women don't trust themselves. So we have two things, right? It's that pro or die. So we have the incredibly medicalized, I'm going to schedule my cesarean or my induction, or I'm going to let the pituitary gland of my baby, my soul, its soul, determine the time to come in. And then we have, you know, now these free births where women are just attending each other. The husband is there, and the father of the baby is there. And it's this beautiful circle. And so, you know, I tried for my whole career to change things from the inside, and things normally don't change from the inside. They change when there's a paradigm shift from the outside. And I've gotten far further since leaving one-on-one patient care. I've been able to help way more women than I could have by being in the system, which is increasingly restrictive.
What does a medical license give you? The ability to write prescriptions and participate in the hospital system?
Yep.
Is there anything else?
No. So what we're finding is many, many doctors now, because they're under the gun, they've got all the medical training. So they're forming these PMAs, private membership associations, which you can do legally, but you got to do it right. And then when you come in as a patient, you are agreeing, we are in the private. So I am not, as a patient in a PMA, I cannot sue because I'm not working in that system. There's the statutory law system, and then there's the private. And so if I'm choosing to do this, I'm doing it on my own volition, and I'm not holding anyone responsible.
Yeah.
See, we've got to grow up. We have to grow up and get out of this nanny state where everything's for our own safety.
Right.
I mean, I'm a baby boomer. I don't know how any of us lived till adulthood, given how we were raised, running wild, you know, driving the Jeep on the back hill.
Right.
Trampoline in the haymow, you know, no helmets. I mean, now we've got everybody wrapped in bubble wrap, and they're terrified.
Right. And what does fear do energetically to the body?
Shuts down everything.
Yeah.
Shuts down everything. Fear is fight or flight. So it's fight, flight, freeze, or a new one, fawn.
Fawn.
Fawn means you are trying to elevate your captors. You're trying, oh, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. So that's Stockholm syndrome. Mm-hmm. Fight, flight, flee, or fawn. You can't have an orgasm in that state, by the
way. Right.
You have to be in parasympathetic, rest, digest, restore.
Yeah.
And that's what I want women to do as an exercise, be right in the present moment and learn how to, through biofeedback, turn on your female erotic anatomy and know what pleases you. And then when you know that, then you can share it with another. Because, you know, it's awful. We make men responsible for our orgasm. He should be able to do that for me.
Right.
No, you can share that. It's the same with, you know, Valentine's Day strikes terror in the heart of every man. Oh, my God. You know, well, if you loved me, you'd know what I want.
Right.
Well, the truth is, you know, I was riding to the airport in Michigan with a guy who was, you know, worked on he's a lineman, you know, with the electrical company.
Uh-huh.
He said he was at a rocky place in his marriage, and the therapist just told him to read that book on love languages. And as soon as he knew what his love language was, it turned everything around. That's a good man. A narcissist wouldn't even read it.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
Science is supposed to be the study of the natural world. And I think what we have come to term supernatural is really just natural. But, you know, and our ability to access these higher states of consciousness, kind of like what you were saying earlier with the pineal gland. I don't think most people, even know that their pineal gland has been poisoned in the first place, much less what it actually does. But we see all these like kind of mystical accounts, you know, again, back to antiquity, and think that, you know, our ancestors must have just been superstitious or stupid or whatever, when really I think that they just had a much less toxic world that they were living in, and they had access to creating DMT in their own biology without external substances. When we really have the ability to do that on our own, do you see sexuality as a way to access that, and as a way to further have an understanding of the science of our biology and how much more we actually have the ability to access than what we've been convinced through this kind of cultural conditioning.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we can live in a far more orgasmic state, but you're never going to get there unless you're outside, you're barefoot, you're in the water, you're in the waves, you are living in nature, and the stars and the sun literally are bombarding us with information and photons that turn on our body. By the way, men in ancient Greece ran barefoot, they ran naked on the beach to get the sunlight reflected up to their testicles, which would raise testosterone levels. When you're out in the sun, it raises testosterone levels. And they call that practice aeration. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn all that stuff again.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kim Inami talks about genital sunning a lot. And they've done studies with men's testosterone levels. And when they are exposed to sun, the testosterone levels go up quite significantly.
There's all kinds of things that we can do. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation, Dr. Northrup. Is there anything we have not touched on in terms of sexuality, spirituality, and medicine that you think would be important for our listeners to know about?
There's one thing, and it's I think it's chapter 6 in Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Okay.
That is that your sexuality and your money are connected. You know, when they have the belly dancers shake your money maker, the second chakra is money, sex, and power.
Yeah.
And in Think and Grow Rich, he points out that no one ever did well financially unless they were able to sublimate their sexual energy and turn it into creative projects. Mm-hmm. So remember, while you're waiting for Mr. Right, who you might be living with now, and you're going to uplift him, upgrade him, just remember that your sexual energy is the energy that creates worlds, and it creates money, and it creates abundance. So you might read that chapter in Think and Grow Rich because it's key. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's it.
All right. All right. Real quick, what is your vision for the future of medicine? And how do you think our understanding of the concept of life force energy might start permeating true healthcare?
First of all, the current system that we have needs to be completely dismantled.
Yeah.
It needs to go away. It needs to go away. It's based on Rockefeller medicine from 1910 and the Flexner Report.
Yeah.
So you can read that. And then they demonized and shut down naturopathic, homeopathic medical schools, the women's medical schools, anything natural. It's going to be a resurrection of Tesla technologies, med beds, being in nature, naturopathy, homeopathy, acupuncture, herbs, all of the medicines of the earth.
Yeah.
And the only thing you're going to need a hospital for is like a multiple trauma, medical grade at that.
Right.
ICU kind of things. We're good at that. We got to keep that part. The other part, well baby checks, just the opportunity to be inducted into the medical industrial complex.
Yeah.
That needs to go. So I think that within, I would say 5 years, we won't even recognize it. And because pharma will no longer be running the ship. You should understand that all the medical journals, you want propaganda? That's the medical journals, the current medical journals. So I would say to people, stop lashing yourself to the deck of the Titanic. It's going down.
Yeah. These are exciting times. Like I think we all kind of went through a process where we were like angry about what was happening. But I think there has been a shift in energy and I'm really encouraged by what I'm starting to see. So yeah, I think the tides are changing. Dr. Northrup, if people want to find you online, where can they find you? And I know you have a wonderful product line you might be able to share with us real quickly.
It's my Amata Life, AmataLife.com. You can find everything at drnorthrup.com. But I do want you to know about this vaginal moisturizer that I created because it was such a trip to create. It was when I was learning tango and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I went to Thailand and, you know, visited the places, Herb Pararia Morifica miracle herb. I knew this needed to be in a vaginal gel. And I swear to you, this stuff turns on the whole vaginal and female erotic system. And then after you've used it a while, you don't need to use it anymore. So that's the vaginal moisturizer. We have a warming kind and a regular kind. And that re-estrogenizes the entire vaginal area. And then we also have a supplement, a pill that you take. Sometimes that's all it takes to even re-moisturize the vagina. It helps with dry eyes. It helps with sleep, with all of that stuff. And also, because there are estrogen receptors all over the skin, our skin cream contains the Pararium Orifica. It lands on the beta estrogen receptor, not the alpha. So it's not a growth hormone. It's not associated with the stuff you don't want.
Yeah.
And I found my sister had some pelvic surgery and they wanted her to take a prescription estrogen cream. The prescription was $350. Mm-hmm. Our stuff does the same thing.
Yeah.
Get it over the counter. So, you know, check out our website, amadalife.com, but drnorthrup.com is where you can subscribe to our free newsletter. And then I have a Substack. It is a paid Substack, $10 a month. And that's just me, you know, giving day-to-day tips for living, how to, you know, deal with the zombie apocalypse and, you know,
right. Yep.
So
the things we need to know these days, right? Yeah. So, oh, wonderful. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure. You are always lovely to talk to. And I so appreciate the time that you've lended to our audience to share your wisdom. And I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future.
Great. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Northrup.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Any statements and views expressed by myself or my guests are not medical advice. The opinions of guests are their own, and the Body Literacy Podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. If you have a medical problem, please consult a qualified and competent medical professional. As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Body Literacy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and sign up for updates over at jenmayo.com.